So imagine sitting on over 720 million rand.
Right, which is a massive amount of money.
Yeah, and it's meant to build emergency housing for flood victims, but you are completely unable to spend a single cent of it.
Because the global supply chain is just completely frozen solid.
Exactly. So welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking into the South African Department of Human Settlements, their 2021-2022 annual report. And honestly, it reads less like a standard financial document and more like a survival diary.
He really does, yeah.
So the mission for you today is to explore a really fascinating question. How does a nation actually manage the monumental task of housing its citizens during just a perfect storm of global and environmental crises?
Right, because the context of that 2021-2022 window is just brutal. I mean, the need for housing didn't drop, it absolutely
Well,
skyrocketed.
yeah, you had the ongoing pandemic, obviously, as
Obviously,
well.
yeah. But then July 2021 brings this massive civil unrest, specifically in the KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng provinces, and that just snapped physical supply chains.
And then on top of that, you have severe climate events. So catastrophic floods, massive fires. I mean, they were actively washing away the ground they were trying to build on.
Exactly.
It sounds less like construction and more like, I don't know, trying to rebuild an airplane while flying it through a hurricane. Like, how do you even plan for that?
Well, logically, you'd think a government department in that situation would just burn through every available cent,
Sort,
right?
absolutely.
But here's the defining paradox of this report. They actually underspent their budget by 720.2 million rand.
Wait, really? With a massive housing crisis, they had money left over.
Yeah, it's about 2.1% of their total allocation. And it comes down to systemic bottlenecks. Internally, they were doing a prolonged structural review, so they literally couldn't hire people into vacant positions to manage the crisis.
Oh, wow. So nobody is even steering the ship at that point.
Right. And then externally, COVID caused this massive global shortage of building materials.
Oh, I see.
So the suppliers they contracted, well, they simply couldn't get the physical stock to build anything.
Which completely explains the unspent money. I mean, you can't write a check to a contractor who can't even buy cement.
Exactly.
It's like having a fully funded commercial kitchen, but all the grocery stores are empty. The money is just useless.
That's a great way to put it. And that lack of material had a huge human cost. You see it clearly in the informal settlement upgrades.
Right. The report mentioned they aim to bring 130 informal settlements up to phase three upgrades, right?
Yes, and phase three is critical. That means permanent municipal engineering. So piped water, sanitation grids, formal electricity.
But because of the cascading delays.
Out of 130 targeted settlements, only 14 reached that stage.
Wow, only 14. That is a massive shortfall.
It really is.
But, you know, what I find really compelling is how this forced them to adapt. Like, when the physical construction route is blocked, you have to find a workaround.
Right, and they did that financially with what they call the GAP market.
Right, through the Help Me Buy a Home subsidy. I think it used to be called Fifil ISP.
Yes. And the gap refers to people earning too much to get a free government house, but then too little to get a traditional mortgage approved by a bank.
Because the bank sees them as high risk, or they just can't scrape together the deposit.
Precisely. So instead of trying to build a new house from scratch, which we know they couldn't do, the government provided a direct financial subsidy.
Oh, so it acts as a down payment.
Yeah, or it reduces the principal loan amount, which instantly lowers the monthly mortgage to something the buyer can actually afford.
Which completely bypasses the construction gridlock.
Exactly. By shifting from physical construction to financial enablement, they helped over 6,200 households buy homes that were already on the market.
That is so smart. But they didn't just stick to the financial side. They also looked at physical alternatives to traditional materials, which brings us to biomass concrete.
Oh, this is such a standout detail. Traditional cement was just too hard to source globally, so they started testing biomass concrete for state housing.
Okay, wait. What exactly is biomass concrete?
Well, they harvest invasive plant species, which are already a huge ecological problem in South
Yay.
Africa. They chip them down, treat them, and use that fibrous material as the core aggregate. Mix it with a binder, and you get concrete blocks.
Wow, so it hits two birds with one stone because those invasive trees, like certain eucalyptus or wattle, they drain millions of liters from the water table.
Exactly.
And they provide massive fuel loads for the exact wildfires that were destroying infrastructure in the first place.
Yes. By harvesting them, you systematically remove a local environmental threat.
And you process into the exact material you need to rebuild homes. That totally circumvents the blocked global supply chain.
It's a perfect example of turning a vulnerability into a resource. I mean, the big lesson here is that housing isn't just about bricks anymore.
Right.
It is deeply entangled with global economics, environmental resilience, and just agile governance. Mm-hmm. Like, when global logistics freeze, local roofs don't get built.
It really completely changes how we should think about urban planning.
It really does.
Which leaves you with something to ponder after we wrap up today. If our homes are increasingly vulnerable to extreme weather and these massive supply chain crashes, should future government housing initiatives just completely abandon traditional brick and mortar for alternative, locally sourced materials?